there are people who fulfill them. Now, up till now, we have the Hare Krishna movement since, I don't know how many years, more than 40 years in the West. But it seems this prophecy has not yet been fulfilled. Why not? It has not been fulfilled yet because the movement as such is still preparing itself to fulfill it. And in particular, the chanting of the holy name will become, let me say, infective, or it will influence people only when the chanters fulfill one circumstance or one condition, I should say. The chanters have to be pure. When we don't chant purely the holy name, then it will not actually be Krishna whom we are giving, but it will be some nice music, meditational music, and so on. But it won't have that all-attractive feature which is so special to Krishna. So Krishna becomes attracted in all seriousness to those who chant purely. And now the question is, oh, we have heard so much about purity and we get tired to hear it's so common. What does actually purity mean in relationship to chanting? There can be many definitions, but I would like to give a definition from Rupa Goswami. It means, purity means when you chant in a seva bhava. See, at this moment, all of us are bahirmukha souls. That means we have turned our face away from Krishna. We look in this direction. That's very impolite, huh? Imagine I would continue my class. What we have to do is we have to turn around to Krishna, especially in our chanting, and become what Rupa Goswami describes to be Sevan Mukhe. Our mukha face must be turned to Krishna in service, in a service attitude. This means during the chanting, we chant to please Krishna, and outside of the chanting we try to serve Krishna in many ways, like for instance the way which you have done here in Birmingham, where you have put on a festival like this. The point here is Sevan Mukhe. Our face has to turn to Krishna in an attitude of service. This attracts the all-attractive Lord. Only this. If this mood is not there in the chanters, if they, then they are, it sounds so rash, but they are still impolite chanters. They have turned away from Krishna. Polite chanters, or I would say here, pure chanters, are those who turn to Krishna in a service attitude. Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivado. Krishna becomes manifested on the tongue of that person who has turned his face in a service attitude to Krishna. This means pure chanting. To turn to Krishna with a service attitude. Then he appears. You know, God is not like a waiter in a restaurant where you just call like, hey, and then you give some tip, I think it is called. You can't just get Krishna like, hey, come, hurry, Krishna. No. You have to, it has to be, you know, it has to be different. The waiter you call with an enjoying tendency. No, you want him to bring cookies and oranges and lemon juice and so on. But Krishna, you have to, when you call for Krishna, you can't do this in a spirit to get enjoyment from him. You have to turn the tables around. You have to try to give the Lord enjoyment. Then only he arrives. It's not like a Veda. A Veda can be called with an enjoying spirit. Krishna can only be called in a service spirit. Oh, this was a dramatic entry. So this is an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. What is your good name again, Prabhu?
Ravi
Prabhu. Yes, a very good MC. Yes.
Maybe we'll go back and forth between the lines.
Stop.
But I live in Burma with my sister, so Nandini, she's just at work, so she'll come later. I think one of my realizations from yesterday is after Abhishek, what you said was, Krishna, please accept me back in your service, and it just made me realize that we've turned our backs towards Krishna for so many lifetimes. It's not that all of a sudden we just decide, yeah, Krishna, we're ready now. It's not going to be like that. Like, we still have to prove ourselves to Krishna, and he's going to send loads of tests to make sure that we have unflinching faith, and we want to serve him, and that's it, nothing else. So I think, like what you said, please accept me. So we have to beg Krishna to accept us, and only then, if Krishna gives us mercy, then he will accept service from us. So thank you for that. And I had a question during festivals, like especially like just personally during the last three days, I haven't been able to do my rounds, like probably done 3-4 here there. And I mean, obviously Srila Prabhupada's most important instruction is to chant 16 rounds. And when we are in such festivals and we cannot chant, what should we do? Should we just, I mean, before we... Sometimes we just say, oh yeah, there's no time to do our rounds. But sometimes we just think we're the doers. We think we're the doers and nothing's going to happen without us. But we just get caught up that this needs to be done, this needs to be done, and we don't prioritize our rounds. And within the festivals, like personally, like I haven't done my rounds, and I don't know how else to improve that for the next festivals or... Yeah, so I don't know what would please Krishna, what would please Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, that's a question.
Yeah. See, this particular festival takes place once in a year. It's an exceptional situation for our yatra in Birmingham, and I think in exceptional situations, exceptional rules take prominence. I think during the 2 days of the festivals, it is permissible to chant as many rounds as is possible. And then slowly add these rounds which are missed to the quota which you usually chant. In other words, you chant 4 days 20 rounds, except not 16 rounds per day. It is all right. See, when we do this festival, we really serve the holy name through our efforts. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is really a practice where we serve Krishna in the form of kirtanam, or chanting his holy name. Kirtan can be done in japa, that's when you whisper. That's also a glorification of Krishna. And it can be done in together with many. Bahutva militva, it says in Sanskrit, with many. Then it is done in kirtan. And it can also be done, these are exceptional situations, in serving such events, so that the glorification can take place. I must admit to you, the day before yesterday, I also did not complete my rounds, but yesterday was like this, that I had not chanted many rounds before I came to the kirtan, because at the moment I'm not well physically. Nothing serious, just a back pain, but so then I just stayed up a little longer yesterday and finished. It's permissible. Don't make it a regular event though. This is for an exceptional situation like the 24-hour kirtan situation. Or maybe another situation will turn up, Jamashtami or something like this. But it's an exceptional situation. See, why do we so much stress, and why does Srila Prabhupada so much stress to complete 16 rounds a day? It is to show the holy name that you are not indifferent to a relationship with Krishna. Imagine, you know, a good friend of yours wants to spend time with you, and you tell him, you spend time with him or with her every day, but then one day you decide, no, I have no time for you. It's very impolite, and most probably the person to whom you're telling this begins to question how serious you are about the relationship. So when you don't chant your 16 rounds, it sends a very, very loud message to Krishna: I really don't care so much about you as I care for many other things. You have to be consistent in your vratas of chanting 16 rounds to show the Lord that you really care for the relationship. You have to be present there. Have you ever found relationships, maybe with your girlfriends, where someday the person is there, very enthusiastic, and another day the person is not present, and you go your way, I'm not so much. Don't strain yourself to be in our relationship. Yeah, I have enough friends, you know, you go somewhere else, please. You know, I don't want such forced attendance by you. So Krishna is also like that, you know, when you just sometimes don't chant your 16 rounds, he has to conclude you don't care about him. And therefore we really want to chant 16 rounds. But when you do this, when you have this intense service situation, my God, I was becoming aware just how many people become attracted. It's really a lot. Our temple president, Nitai Charan Prabhu, took me with another devotee to the prasadam tent, and they indicated to me there was like 500 meters of a queue, or more even, on regular days. So many people, and I was not there at the prime time. I was a little late, but even then, the devotees were standing in a long queue. Guests were there. One devotee was dancing and chanting. It was an overdose of kirtan. and this really becomes a significant program, a significant crowd draw. And I can imagine that the devotees who are engaged in facilitating this program, they have little opportunity to sleep and little opportunity to think of anything else than the things which are at hand, which need to be arranged. So for this, I think we can definitely omit around. And there is a precedent. Prabhupada once received Tamakrishna Goswami in Juhu. Tamakrishna Goswami told him, Prabhupada, we are trying to build this temple. It's so strange. We can't really focus on anything else. I can't chant my rounds. I can't read. I'm totally mental, like a mataji. And you know, he complained like this to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, if you complete this temple, I promise you that at the end of your life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will come personally, take you by the hand, and bring you back home, back to Godhead. Imagine. So, in these special situations, but let us remember, they should remain special. Not that our whole life is a special situation. in this situations, it is permissible to chant the remaining rounds at another time. It is permissible.
I'm amazed how shy I am.
Note Manjari.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that my realization of the festival was that I really deepened my appreciation for all the devotees. I felt the list was growing and growing when I started to contemplate and think about each devotee's service, and the list started to grow bigger and bigger. I was just overwhelmed with the kind of the dedication that was shown. That was my main realization. The question I wanted to ask you was, during the kirtan, I saw a lot of people really affected with the holy name. They were dancing, some people were even crying. And I just wanted to ask you, because I like to distribute books whenever I get time, and we were distributing leaflets about the 24-hour kirtan on Harinam when we went, and I was trying to convince people to come. And it's a hard task to convince people to come to a festival. And, I was just trying to think, what is the best way we can convince people? And when I was considering all the people dancing and some people were crying, I was thinking that what would an outsider think if they walked in and they were not connected to Krishna consciousness? How would they see and view all the dancing, the singing and the crying even? Because the question I was thinking as a preacher or as a book distributor, the first thing they would ask is, well, what's the difference between a music festival and this festival? Because it's music. And often we see in material situations they're dancing, they're crying, they're going hysterical. And so how would we explain that to somebody? What is the difference?
I was thinking about this when we had these VIP people. Ravi, remember there was this man who had the right haircut? He was... the fire commissioner, and then there were two people from the police, two young men. There was the MP, a member of parliament, and that's about it. Helen was there, the wife of the man with the right haircut, and so on. But they were newcomers, and I was thinking they were seeing the devotees, they were listening to the talks which were given. They saw Indra Prabhu and talking about crying as a prize for the pure holy name. And I was thinking, what went on in them? What was it, a good program for them? I was thinking like this, and I did look at them, and my experience as a preacher is, whenever people see something which is genuine, which is real, they do become affected in a positive way. But if it is something which is put on, which is not real, which is not genuine, they become alarmed and feel uninterested or critical even. It's the genuine expression which attracts a person. I have seen this, the country people, my country people are Germans. I must say I don't identify myself any longer as a proper German, because I have been rejected by the proper Germans. I'm too far out for them. But the Germans are very reserved, very critical, and so on. But I once took a group of German tourists into a kirtan in the Krishna Balaram temple. I remember it was an evening arati, and the Indians were dancing in a special way. I'm not speaking of ordinary dancing. They were extraordinary dancing. We had one of these men also there. You remember? It was an extraordinary dance. But it was genuine. That was him, when I took them to that evening in the Krishna Balaram temple during an arati, that was India. Wild, undisciplined, extraordinary India. Like we all know when things can happen. I could see they appreciated it nevertheless as a experience of a different culture, different to them, because it was genuine, it was the real thing. It was like it happens on every other night in the Krishna Balaram temple. But when, on the other hand, I saw people coming to festivals which our movement put up, which were a little bit, I think we call it hype, something which is not connected with the real feelings, sometimes Ravi never does this, but I have seen some MCs saying, "You guys want that extraordinary nice," and everyone has to say "Haribol," and then it's not genuine. It is something superficial, and these things cannot impress anyone, and so on. It has to be genuine. So I thought, I think you can definitely invite people to the 24-hour kirtan. It just has to be a correct description of what it is. Not that you say this will be an evening of of Bollywood partying, you know, or so. You have to say it is a glorification of Krishna in the form of his holy names. And you are all welcome, and people will then tune into what it is, and they will decide, is it genuine or not? And if it's genuine, they will be profoundly affected, profoundly affected. Badra. Badri Narayan. Badri Narayan.
Yeah. So, no more introduction requirements. My realization is that in the last 2 days, the Kirtan was so good. There was nothing in the mind except for the Kirtan. Even in the night, the Kirtan was going on and on and on. And I was just wondering if in the material world, how hard we could be coming to the spiritual world, to the material world, how tough a decision we have taken to come to this world. I think 16 rounds is not at all enough. I think we have to go more than 100 rounds. When I started doing 16 rounds, I thought I am doing something really great. But then, it's not really there. My question is that Maharaj, at least in the 2 days whenever I heard this kirtan, everything was, I was realizing that everything I'm connecting to Krishna. But when I do the chanting, it is not really the same. Is it because my voice or my chanting is so bad that I can't hear myself and I can't concentrate? Or is it the person who is doing the kirtan is so good that his voice is making me concentrate more?
Jiva Goswami.
The person who has done so much chanting that he is so precious and it makes others' mind change.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely helps to have a good kirtan leader who is Krishna conscious and attracts Krishna through his singing. But Jiva Goswami says something which really stuck to my mind and which I really want to impress you with. He says, from all types of sadhana or spiritual practice, sankirtan or chanting with many is the supermost form of sadhana. It is higher even than kirtan. Kirtan means singing or praising alone like you do in japa. Because, that's what he says, why is this the highest sadhana? Because when you chant the holy name with many, it produces such extraordinary devotional feelings. It can create like this. And believe me, I give japa retreats now all over the world. China is the last place which I still want to go. Then I have covered everything. And I have sent one photographer with a certain hidden or secret mission during my japa retreats. They have to chant, they have to photograph devotees who do japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then I have the same photographers to just shoot photos at random during kirtan. We often now have a 12-hour kirtan, 12-hour kirtan day in our japa retreats. And they make photos during that time. Then I compare the photos. I don't tell them photograph only blissful devotees or photograph only miserable devotees. Just photograph at random, you know. And so then I compare the faces of devotees doing sankirtan or kirtan together with those who devotees who chant alone the holy name. And many times this is the reaction which we have. It's an overwhelming reaction. Those who sit in the sankirtan and chant, they often you see them smiling like this or being very contemplative, or just being, you know, like this, like a little child greeting his father, begging him to pick him up. You know, I can. And then those who do japa on the other side, you see. Sometimes like this, or just, or just having an absent-minded expression in there on the face, like, you know, it's really very very clear that it is during kirtan with many devotees together, sankirtan, where these extraordinary devotional feelings are generated in the hearts of the participants. They seem to become spiritually alive. I saw a particularly endearing scene during one of the kirtans. I was just looking around at the devotees, and I looked in one direction and I saw Dr. Rao. You must be knowing the head, how would we call him?
Chairman.
The chairman of the Balaji temple. And he sat there on his chair and he was so absorbed in the kirtan. He said, like this, you know, and you could see he was really chanting Krishna's holy names and was together with Krishna. And it showed me that although he may be an outsider to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he is practicing, I think he's a devotee of Balaji, so he must be connected with Ramanujacharya or Madhvacharya's line in some ways. But during the kirtan, he became totally absorbed in the chanting of the holy name. Because it has such power. It has such power. It creates extraordinary devotional feelings. But this is Jiva Goswami or these other Vaishnava Acharyas. They always tell you what condition you have to fulfill. But this works only when you chant in a mood of dainyam, humility. Only if you chant in such a devotional mood can you have such devotional feelings. If a proud, arrogant fool is sitting, it might be difficult for him to experience extraordinary devotional feelings. But if I think it happens automatically when we enter the group of devotees, we do feel there is no need to, how do we say it in English, to show myself off. We feel, let me find a humble place here. I need 30 centimeters times 30 centimeters. That's all I need. And then in that humble state of mind, we can chant better. We can chant much better. It goes much better. Jiva Goswami says, in the age of Kali, it shouldn't be difficult for anyone to be humble, because any person in the age of Kali is naturally disqualified. He has less qualities. Not very concentrated, not very renounced, not very determined for spiritual practice. So it should not be difficult to be humble. He said, he doesn't know the English people. Sometimes, despite one's disqualification, one feels very qualified. Yeah. But yes, if you chant with many in a humble, and you find yourself in a humble state of mind, you know, just being happier. I made it. I sat down. I got my sitting place here. And, you know, just not much more expectations. Then you will be overwhelmed with extraordinary devotional feelings by the power of the chanting. It will work. It will work. It's just that sitting together, it is also a group petition. Petition, you understand? Knocking at Krishna's door. When you come with many, Mickey, the knocking is stronger. it increases the strength of the knock. Increases when you do group petition. Krishna's door sends a signal. Wow, there are many before the door, my dear Lord. They come and sing together. Do you remember, my Lord, when Brahma and all the 33,000 demigods came with Mother Bhumi to Sveta Dweep and they chanted the Purusha Shukta prayers? Do you remember? And Krishna says, yes, and I came and I appeared. So when there is group petition, Krishna feels more inclined to come and in this way appears amongst the chanters. Prabhupada, even, I know, in the early days, we always had to keep at least a cushion like this one here, a small seat for Lord Shiva. Shiva could come. And another one, Narada Muni. Yes. We were instructed to have seats for Narad Muni and Shiva during all our kirtans because they would become attracted. Group petition. Yeah. You are an organizer, I can see. You have found a beautiful blue cushion. This should be for Nilakanta Shiva from the Regency collection. Yes. Group petition is stronger than individual petition. That's the point here. I have a dream. A dream which comes almost every night, my dear devotees. I once was preaching in a group, we called it the Gauranga Bhajan group, and we had 33,000 people, almost like demigods, you know, and per evening doing our kirtans. And I remember there was this. It was not every night, this was on peak nights. It was in Moscow, this one kirtan concert which we gave. Oof! I remember that venue was the Olympic Hall, Olympikopitska Domsky. And we had been interviewed on that tour by. Each evening, imagine 100 journalists with film cameras and photo cameras and everything. So we had been in Riga, in St. Petersburg, in Kiev, and now we were approaching Moscow. And Moscow had heard about this amazing group of this kirtan group. So. We had been, the TV was talking about it, everyone should please come, this is a significant historic moment in the Soviet history. And I do remember we opened our program with an aratik to Shishi Gonitai. We had Gonitais which were this, like this, no, like this. Maybe a little bit in this direction more. We never say the deities are like this because this would limit them, but like this means Krishna's unlimitedly deep and unlimitedly high. So that's why we say deities are this big, we say this is how our eyes perceive them, but they are really unlimited. If we would say this big, this would limit them. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was doing the puja during that time. And I don't know, I had the feeling the deities were becoming restless on the altar. They were moving like this. But then I thought, maybe I see this by sentimental vision, you know, that I want to see the deities alive. Therefore my psychology gives me such a picture that they are alive and dancing. So I didn't take it that serious, because I thought, I'm not a woman. This is how I thought at that time. Good, so I left it. Then there was a multivision presentation of Vrindavan, and then there was a lecture. And after the lecture, we had what we called mantra dance. We chanted the holy names, and we requested our audience to get up and to dance. We showed them how to dance, the Swami step, we called it. And then we went on. And again, I was there at the altar with the chamara to give the Lord some fresh breeze. And this time, it was a little bit more lively. And all of a sudden, I could see that the deities started to shake. Vroom, 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 vroom. Then I thought, I'm not imagining. I showed it to other devotees in the Gaudiya Times. Then the next thing I noticed is that out in the crowds, people came together and climbed on top of each other, so that it became a tsunami wave of human limbs, you know. Can you imagine? They came towards the stage, and I noticed the deities were in some ways no longer on the altar, but in the tsunami wave, you know. They liked it. So I said, you know, okay, no need to do my service. I took a rope, which I had fastened, and I went with the rope over the people. The next time I took a bucket of flour, dumped them on the people. It became a little bit wild. I could see that the chanting had not only created an extraordinary devotional atmosphere, but Krishna himself in his form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his elderly brother Nitai Chand, they had come alive and had left the altar to dance in the crowds of the people. I could see this. And really, our whole movement of Krishna consciousness is really meant to create this ecstatic atmosphere, which does happen through kirtan. But we must chant properly. That's very important. It's very important. I feel there is a movement within the movement, and this movement is the chanting movement. And now with your activities in Birmingham, where you organize this festival, I think very soon something extraordinary will happen here. Last year I told to Nitai Chand, Nitai Charan Prabhu, and someone else, you will see, next year there will be many more people. And now there have been many more people, so it will increase now. The English word is exponentially. That's a mathematical term. It is that when something has reached a critical mass, then somehow it expands very quickly and very, very massively. And I think if you keep on this wave of Krishna's arrangement and plan already the next. I mean, first of all, you have to sleep, and then you have to chant your rounds, then you have to eat. But then, after some time, the planning can go on for the next event. You will see something extraordinary will happen in this town, and something beyond your boldest expectations will happen, because the holy name is so powerful. Gauranga Mahaprabhu might start to dance through Birmingham. Sorry, maybe I should be Ravi, should I be shorter maybe in my answers? Maybe a little shorter. Yes, a little shorter.
Just say goodbye.
Marek, I've seen for a couple of years, just a personal question. Most of them here, some of them are relatively new to the movement. I just want to know how you came to the Krishna conscious movement, something more about you, and how you got in touch with Prabhupada, and what made you come to this movement.
Very briefly, that's a long story, but very briefly, I was very much interested in an alternative to a materialistic society. I'm from a very rich and influential family in Germany, relatively rich and relatively influential, and I could somehow see I didn't want to become like these controllers of the German society. I became very skeptical because in my family there was so much quarrel. You know, the more money, the more influence is, there's quarrel. You know, one of my uncles had a gun under his sleeping thing because he thought the other uncle would steal money or contracts or papers. You know, it was Hare Krishna, Kali Yuga. So I looked always for alternatives, and I did read the Bhagavad Gita. Ravi Shankar, this Indian sitarist player, recommended me to read the Bhagavad Gita after one of his concerts. And I remember I was a Rolling Stones fan. Rolling Stones, is it known? Amala Purana, you know. Some other Panchatattva, you know. Kali Yuga Panchatattva. 5 members of illusion, ignorance, and hatred. And so I was... one of the members had just died, and I felt very affectionately connected to the group because I had been on a party or on parties with them and had participated. And then I felt very sad when this one member had died a very depressive and sad death from an overdoses of intoxicants. And felt very sad. So I had been watching the burial on the TV, and I remember I cried. So after the television show about the burial of this unfortunate boy, there was the Hare Krishna Temple of London singing the Hare Krishna mantra. It was the announcer said an exciting new band has appeared, the Radha Krishna Temple from London, and they sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It made it to number one in the hit parade at that time, and I saw them, the devotees on the TV singing this song, and I do remember in my heart I felt a sense of great relief. The grief was gone, and I somehow intuitively understood that life is eternal. No one dies. We are all spiritual souls. And I became, my tears dried, and I became very, very enthusiastic to get to know this song. And I had to wait a little, but later I met one Sankirtan group in Hamburg, the town where I stayed at that time, Hamburg, Germany. They were singing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They were on a promotional tour for that Hare Krishna single. You know, that song which I had seen on the TV. And I remember I asked one of the members, it was Tamal Krishna Goswami, I need the text of this song. I want to sing it also. And then he wrote it down on a slot of paper to me. And every evening before I went to bed, I chanted Hare Krishna. And I felt always that life is eternal and that I'm a part and parcel of God. That's how I only needed a little time. I was very young, 13 years, or 12, 13, I was very young. I became very attracted at that time, and I became... And I waited until the devotees came to Hamburg and opened the temple. Then I regularly associated. It was a scandal in Germany. There were many newspaper articles. Son of the director of the German railway has become a monk of Hinduism, and you can meet him now on the streets, and he will greet you and say Hare Krishna to you. So I had become a devotee dressed in bed sheets as a they don't know dotties, the German journalists, but they know bed sheets. So I had become it. I never regretted that. I was always very... I found my own true path like that. So there was an initial readiness to look for towards God, and then when I met him in his form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, at the time of that emotionally very unsettled time in my life, when I was very sad because of the death of a near one, I was then recognizing my chants, and I sang the mantra and met as soon as I had met the devotees. This is how I became a devotee. I think it is Krishna's mercy. He found me. I feel like I was a black ant on a black stone in a dark night in a dark universe. But the holy name found me. So interesting. A black ant on a black stone and a black universe in a dark night of ignorance. What is the chance? But the holy name found me.
And we were actually due to finish about 4 o'clock, but I spoke to the people here and they said it's okay, we can go for a bit longer, so that's good. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What is your name again? I do remember the Shivani, isn't it?
Shivani,
yeah, I remember.
More grammar dimension, just how dull and boring material life is and how growing and ecstatic spiritual life is. But along with that, I'm also starting to think, is it some sort of disadvantage to think that because I have so many material duties as well in terms of working or to family, and I'm just increasingly finding it more difficult to do it because I just feel like I don't want to anymore. Just from challenge, I just want to do good for it. But we still have to do these duties. So how do I get that balance of fulfilling that and but not comparing it as spiritual?
I think you have to find out what is your true path in life, you know, and then decide from there how much of material duties and how much of spiritual duties you can perform. What is it that you are meant to do in this life? If out of a momentary frustration, you are momentary overdoses of the holy, I should call it an overdose of the holy name, but you know, you react a little bit whimsically or a little bit, let me say, a little bit temperamental, that wouldn't be your own true path and you wouldn't be able to maintain that. But you have to find out what it is that you are meant to do in the life, where is your path, and follow that. And that will give you strengths for your life and strengths for your relationships also with people, the various relationships which we have. But you need to find out what is your way. If it is the way where you have many material obligations and a little spiritual practice, then you have to follow that. When it is that your spiritual practice should have more prominence in your life, then you have to gently arrange your life so that is possible. It's important to find your own true path, because you get all the strengths from your path, from your own true path. And you get all the difficulties in life when you are not in your, we say in German, wenn du nicht in deiner Mitte bist, you know, that translates, if you have not found your own true path, and you are not in your balance, and so on. So that you have to find out. When the battle of Lanka was over, Hanuman was sent by Lord Ram to bring Mother Sita into the presence of Ram. So Hanuman went into the Ashokvan, where Sita was surrounded by these demonesses. The demonesses had been given orders by Ravan to make Sita inclined towards Ravan, and they spoke to her, "Ram is only a human being, why don't you surrender to the king of the darkness, you know, Ravan," and you know, they even used spears and did anything and everything. And so Hanuman just landed there. Hanuman said, "Mother Sita, look into the eastern direction, the auspicious direction. I will take care of this demoness. Don't harm them," said Sita. "No, you just look in the eastern direction. It takes 21 seconds. They are all gone." "Don't harm them, Hanuman. I was their gopi, their guest. How can I allow that you kill my hosts? I ate their food." Never imagined Sita to react like that. Then Sita said, "I am not like that hunter." Hanuman said, "Who was that hunter?" "Listen," said Sita. Very philosophical discussion. "Listen. Once there was a hunter who hunted animals in a forest, and all of a sudden he noticed by the sounds of the forest that a tiger was hunting him. You know, some birds will make sounds, yak, yak, and you know, oh, tiger, tiger." So he began to run, and the tiger started to run after him, and the hunter just ran up a tree. It's said in the tree when he looked, but when he looked up, he saw there was a bear. Tiger downstairs, a bear upstairs. This is a very unusual, not a safe situation at all. So the tiger said to the bear, "I was first. Kick him down. He's mine." And the bear looks at the human being, looks at the tiger and says, "I can't do it. He's my guest. He has come into my house, my tree." So the tiger decided, "Let me change my strategy." And he said to the hunter, "I don't care what I eat, I'm so hungry. If you kick down the bear, I spare your life." So the hunter started to move towards the bear, and the bear goes, and the hunter comes to the bear and kicks him, and the bear falls down. So just before he hits the ground, he grabs a branch. and then climbs up the trunk of the tree again into his old position. So the tiger, highly impatient, and he said one last time to the bear, "This is not like a human being, this is a monster. He's ready to betray you and to sacrifice you who were so good to him. Bear, kick that monster down, that human being." The bear said, "I can't do it. Just because the human being has done wrongly, should I now also do wrongly?" Mark his words. He may have acted in an impolite way, but does this mean that I should now change my principles and turn around? So, my dear tiger, go somewhere else to eat. This is not the place for you. So Sita said to Hanuman, "We always have to do the right thing. Even if these demonesses said wrong things to me and acted wrongly, I was their guest and I should act properly like a civilized person. I cannot send my hosts into the fangs of death. I can't do that." So you, Shivaniji, you need to find your own true path. If others act wrongly, that's not your concern, that's their concern. But your concern is that you yourself act in the right way and follow your path. That's important. Krishna. How do you like the story? It has a good message, isn't it? I think it's so important to not waver, but to keep our true path. Yes, there. Mickey, Hare Krishna, have you made photos?
my realization was, I realized that even though there's another festival happening in Seoul Street, a lot of devotees made a special effort to come up to Birmingham to participate in the kirtans, and it showed me how enthusiastic they were. And the amount of energy that was in the room at certain times was just immense. And I know this festival only happens once a year, but I think as a yatra we have to strive for that. It's a weekly thing. Even if it's just a few of us, that same energy has to come into the temple just for a regular amount of kirtan every week. I've got a personal question, Maharaj. I found myself, you know, lacking sleep through 25 kirtans, and this affected my consciousness. And I found myself a lot of time in my dreams, and it affected the way I was interacting with other devotees and sometimes on my own defense. So could you instruct us how to deal with when you're in a situation where you have, when you find yourself in the mode of ignorance and you're doing service, how do you react with devotees, or how do you kind of
It's a very honest question and a very true thing. Yeah, when we are too unrested, our mind is not our friend always. I can only say you need to pace yourself a little bit. You know, when the 24-hour kirtan comes up, that you will not rest, so maybe you rest a little bit before that time, the week before, you make it a point to go earlier to bed and somehow get enough rest. And also when, I have a secret for you, when I have discovered the power of cat naps. These are small naps of 7 minutes, and you come in one way before that, I mean, you are totally disturbed, and then you sit, lie down for 7 minutes. It has to be 7 concentrated rest minutes. I mean, you really have to find a place where you, and you have to put maybe one of your socks over your eyes if they are not dirty, you know. And then just really go and rest. But I always feel, why should I suffer in the best situation, 24-hour kirtan, due to not having rested sufficiently? Try cat naps. Really, they're called, or power naps, they're called. I always do them after I have eaten prasadam. I always need 7 minutes, and then I'm able to take on the world again. Yeah. But yes, I know when we are not rested well, and then something little comes our way, and we react in a very distressed way, very stressed out way. You should know yourself. You should know that this is my condition. I'm still a conditioned soul. With some sleep deprivation, I turn into a monster. then you should take care that you get sufficient rest and so on. Yes, it is a vata situation. I know devotees. And I myself also like this. When I'm really tired, then the vata just drives me. I become very irritated. And it's a certain biological function, and you need to take care of it, not in a philosophical way, but in a physical way, because it's a physical situation. Mm-hmm.
One last question. Why
7 minutes, Ravi? I don't know, but I have read and I have experienced now since 30 years that somehow enough. There are some numbers, like you should go on 40 days or 30 days retreats, which are just the proper numbers. Try it. Take a little alarm clock and put it on 7 minutes, and you have to make sure that when it starts, you are in bed already. You know. And then what you do is, I mean, since it seems to be a point of interest, Ravi, you put your consciousness in your legs and relax them. Then you put your consciousness in the middle section of your body and relax it. Then the trunk, then the shoulders, then the head, and then shup, you're gone. It takes less than a minute to relax your body, and then 6 minutes of solid rest, where you really dive to the ocean of, or the bottom of the ocean of sleep, then you come out refreshed. I don't really know, but it seems some biological numbers are working here. 7 minutes. Maybe in England it's 7.5 minutes. But it should be around that time.
Thank you. We've already got the last question.
My name is Chaitanya Leela.
Chaitanya Leela, yes.
I guess I have a question. But we, you know, we hear that the holy name of Krishna is one of the things that we hear, his qualities, his form, his past, and so on, within the holy name. And I think through chanting, you know, being kirtan and singing kirtan, I definitely feel to some small degree, you know, some happiness and a taste. But I still feel there's a difference, you know. And I know that is me and not the holy name. I know that it's my defect. But I still kind of, you know, I still don't have a relationship with Krishna through, you know, just chanting. For me, it's different when I see Krishna, a picture of Krishna, or, you know, a deity of Krishna, than chanting. So I understand it's me, I'm making around that, but I just maybe thought, you know, how, if maybe if you have some understanding about that, and how, where does it actually, what point does it get to, you know, when we're chanting?
And you realize that the non-difference, yes. Chaitanya Leela, I will give you an unsuspected answer. I really would love to invite you to one of our japa retreats, because it's all about that. But in summary, what most of the devotees who do not yet understand that the name is Krishna chant is a shadow of the name. You know, a shadow is never identical with the substance, but it does at the same time look a little bit like the substance. It lacks the third dimension, it lacks shadow, color and taste and all the other elements, but it is, has, looks a little bit like the form. So devotees who have not yet realized the difference, non-difference nature of the name and the person are having something which looks like the holy name. It's the shadow or the namabhas. So how do we come from the namabhas level, the level where we chant the shadow, to the real name? That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur says only by one thing, by sambandha, a realization of your relationship with Krishna. And he gives a simple meditation with three steps which we teach in the japa retreats. It starts with understanding that you are a small fragment of Krishna. Then the next step is you meditate on the whole, on Krishna himself, and then about your relationship, and that the whole world is meant to teach you to enter into this relationship. So we teach this. It may sound a little theoretical now. And then devotees actually can feel for a brief time to start with. You know, you have to start somewhere, that actually the name is identical with Krishna, because they make a connection between the name and Krishna, the person, in a meditative way. You know, when you chant with a connection with Krishna, then only you can realize this. If you chant disconnected from Krishna, then you will never be able to realize that non-different nature. Let me give you an example. Let us say I talked about me. Mickey, how did your photos go? Did you have enough motivation to make your photos? And Mickey is, was there some interesting... This one way. Mickey, how did your photo sessions go? I'm so interested, did you see some... It's a different thing. In my first example, I did not connect with Mickey. I connected with this enigmatic cookie. In my second example, I connected with a person and immediately there was a rapport. Mickey started to smile at me, which is rare. So there was an immediate rapport. So if you connect in your chanting, if you chant with a connection, Chaitanya Lila, then you can start to realize it. But please do come, maybe to Vrindavan. We have a Vrindavan, we have a Japa Kirtan in a holy name thing in Vashana. And we will again invite Amala Purana, Madhava also, because we have 1 day, 12-hour kirtan day. I think you were in Vasana, you were once there. You were Govardhan? Yeah, but when you came for the entire retreat, I think it was in Vasana where we went to Teh Kadamba, or?
I went to the Govardhan retreat here before.
Govardhan retreat, okay. This time we will be in Vasana, and I think we should have our 12-hour kirtans in Teh Kadamba. It's so good, you can't believe. Try to consider this date and make a plan if possible.
I'm doing this weekend.
To Leicester. That's a starting point. Yeah. We will repair you a little.
Is it a very, very quick question? Yeah. Sorry. Yes, time is but maybe if you walk with Maharaj to the car, you can ask him.
We have, first of all, we'd like to, with zero hype, but with full feeling from your heart, to give Maharaj three very loud Hari Bols for appreciating that he's come and spent some more time with us today.
Hari Hari Hari
Hare Krishna, thank you. I was a little long drawn out, but when you get such good questions, you can't somehow cut the answer. Yes, yes.
It's very, very important for us. And you are so kind. This year was so many problems, was like person left home, you went to, please, because this hall was not fixed properly. But at last, by the mercy of Jagannath, the mercy of you, you get the right date. You say, try to get the right date. And I try. At last, your mercy will get the right date. So thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Really, you say from your perspective that you consider it a mercy on my part or something. From my perspective, it looks really that I'm very, very happy to be here. Really, I would even sweep the hall before and after, if that is the only service I get, because it's a wonderful opportunity, really. And it's a, I feel so much conviction in my heart to serve the holy name at events like this, because I really feel if we invest in this, we invest in the future of the of our own spiritual lives, and also we invest by these programs into the future of spreading Krishna consciousness. It's just wonderful. So I really, since the time, I think Mayapur Madhava Prabhu was the first one to invite me. There was Priya also. You were there in the first team, I remember. Since that time, it's now, I think, the third time where I come. I really see that this has a lot of blessing of Krishna, a lot of blessing. And you will see from this one thing, if you stay with it and do it nicely, will become something extraordinary. Also, Ravi is an extraordinary good host and MC, very with humor, like when he said to that policeman, that fireman, "You have the right haircut." You know, it was just so. It was so good. You know? He felt genuinely pleased. Oh, someone appreciates my hairstyle. and it's a very good combination. Yes. Nita Charan is in fire.
I'd like to mention one thing. When I spoke to you, you said, I said, Maharaj, on that day, 28 is some wedding. Isn't, can't take the wedding another day? Whatever, that's all. I told Maharaj, this is, you know, the Indian wedding, they are so
fixed.
Yeah, fixed. Yeah. Can't say. Okay, we try it. We should try it. By the mercy of Jagannath and by the mercy of you. They, I don't know what happened. They say wedding was cancelled. But this is the eye, and this is the mercy of this very pure devotees. This, you wanted on that day, and it's very
thank you.
I'd like to just say it's been very nice having an association with you today.
Thank you.
I think Maharaj has some cakes. Cakes. Everybody wants to come up. Come forward and
Priya, your production?
Sorry, Priya. Thank you. So if anybody likes to. One by one, not a tug away, but soon I'm come forward and take a cake, please. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, well, for you.